Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. What in the world does that mean? In these Fridays here in chapel, we are reflecting upon parts of the catechism and right now the Lord's Prayer, and so today the first petition, hallowed be thy name. But what does it mean? I, in some ways, am glad for this King James version of the Lord's Prayer that we say together, because of course it means that we have all memorized one standard way of saying the Lord's Prayer, and we can say it with Catholicity. We say it all together, and we are all saying the same words, and there's something beautiful about that. And yet, I sometimes wonder if that same way of saying it is at the cost of faith. Saying the words in great faith, believing what they mean, understanding what we are saying, that we would pray the Lord's Prayer with the faith that it calls forth from us and the faith that it holds out to us. The Catechism is an opportunity to reflect upon the words of the Lord's Prayer, so that we might say them with great faith. Even Luther struggled with the wording of this first petition, hallowed be thy name, in this book. Maybe you've heard about it. I don't know. We probably don't talk about it enough, but it's this book called The Large Catechism. Maybe you've heard about it. In The Large Catechism, Luther rephrases the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Here's how he rephrases it. Father, help that your name alone might be kept holy. He turns it from just words that we maybe mumble into a very clear prayer. In the first petition, we are not saying the words, hallowed be thy name, like some say the words after they say the name Muhammad, peace be upon him. We're not saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, as if it's just this little honorific, a nice thing that we say for God. It's rather a prayer. And this morning, what I want to do with you is explore this little prayer, hallowed be thy name, and ask, what do we mean? So that we can say with all boldness and confidence this prayer, that we may ask God as dear children ask their dear Father. So my family and I were at the Playmobil Fun Park in Nuremberg, Germany, several years ago. We had gone to this Playmobil fun park because, well, I had held out the hope that maybe we could go to Neuen Dettelsau, to the home front of Wilhelm Leia, but my family told me that'd be really boring. So we ended up at the Playmobil fun park, the home of the Playmobil toy company. And it was actually a lot of fun. There was this castle, this life-size castle, just like the one that we had at home, but we could explore it. There were goblins guarding the gates. And my 8-year-old son, Aiden, at the time, and my 4-year-old son, Noah, they loved this. There were these obstacle courses and these low ropes and these jungle gyms that you could climb on, and they were safe for 8-year-old and 4-year-old bodies. And the best of all were these troughs of water filled with Playmobil boats. And you could zoom the boats up and down this flowing river, and oh, it was so great, and we were having so much fun, and I don't know what happened. Maybe I was reflecting on Wilhelm Leia, and on the one hand, he's this great missional theologian, and on the other hand, his doctrine of the holy ministry that has caused so much consternation and that we've been talking about ever since. And in the middle of my reflections, perhaps, I heard, "Help!" My little Noah, my four-year-old Noah, he had gotten bored with the trough of water. He had probably gotten bored because his dad's head was up in the clouds, and he had wandered off to the low ropes. He had tried to wander across a bungee cord rope bridge and had fallen through. But he was caught by the bungee cords. He was hanging there, and the rope bridge was just high enough off the ground that he couldn't touch the ground. And he hung there by one foot. "Help!" I come running to him. I grab him up in my arms. And he says, "Dad." Oh. One part dread and terror and fear. And yet on the other hand, he was going to live. He was rescued. He was safe. When we got him down, and Selena, my wife, and Aiden, his older brother, came around him and gave him lots of hugs, Selena asked, "Noah, what was it like to be there?" And his eyes got big, and he said, "I was dangling." He was dangling. Have you ever been there? Dangling? Maybe it was the amount of demands that had been placed upon you. And you feel like you were caught up with all these demands and you could barely deliver on the expectations of you. Maybe it's your own sin that has tangled around you, and the guilt and the shame and the realization that you can't free yourself from your sinful condition. And so you dangle. Maybe it's a situation so out of your control. Your hopes and dreams for some better future had been dashed, and you had no idea what you were to do next. And there, you dangle. It's for people like this that our Lord has given his name. It's for people like this that our Lord has held forth the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." In our text today, the entire people of Israel were dangling by the cords of slavery. They had been enslaved by the Egyptians, and they couldn't free themselves. And so the Lord shows up to Moses in the burning bush, and he tells them that he, the God of Moses' fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is about to deliver the people of Israel, and he wants to do so by Moses himself. Listen to these words that our God said to Moses. "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." You see, that's who this God is. A God who delighted to walk among his people in the cool of the garden. A God who would come down to punish sin and so to turn the hearts of his people back to himself. The God who delighted to deliver his people from the evils of sin, death, the devil, and the sinful flesh of themselves and the sinful flesh of those around them from which they couldn't free themselves. That is the God who loves to come to his people's rescue. And how does God rescue his people? By giving them his name. By giving them his name. God shows up to the burning bush, in the burning bush to Moses, and God delivers his name. Moses says to the Lord, "What if I go to this people and I tell them that I'm here to rescue them and they ask the name of the God who has sent me? What then am I supposed to say?" Tell them that Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has sent you. Yahweh, the Hebrew name of the Lord, Yud, He, Vav, He. The Lord says, "This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." God gave his people his name so that they might pray, praise, and give thanks. The problem is that we don't always make use of God's name. When we're dangling, that's not always the first thing that we think of, to call out God's name. Sometimes we forget, distracted by so many other things. Sometimes we think we can solve this ourselves, and we set forth a plan. Sometimes the issue seems so small that we wouldn't bother the Lord with these problems. And at other times, the problem is so great, so complex, so controverted, that we think, where would God even start? Sometimes our sin is so great and so wrapped around us that we can't even bring ourselves to speak God's name. And maybe every once in a while, you've said God's name, you've cried out so many times, and the suffering continues, and your faith dwindles, and you wonder if you can call out God's name again. And so came Jesus. So came our Lord Jesus to people like us. He came speaking God's name to his people. He introduced a new name to call God, Father. Tertullian, the church father, whom I love to read, said that the name Father had never been published before for this God, but Jesus called him Father. And Jesus taught the people that that's how they should talk to his God and their God, to call upon him as Father, Abba, Daddy. And so throughout Jesus' life, he taught the word of God in all its truth and purity, and he led people to lead holy lives according to the name of God. Right up to the end, where Jesus was dangling over the pit of death and hell. And on the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Right to the very end, Jesus cried out to the Father. He kept the Father's name holy, and he did so for us. He did so to call us back to that simple faith, that we would call out upon our God and simply say, "Oh God, help. Dad." I'm so grateful for the Catechism, because it helps us, it teaches us, it holds out this faith for us, that when we say words like, "Hallowed be thy name," that we might say them with great faith, that we might call out to our God who loves and delights to rescue us. How grateful I am for the people in my life, the pastors, the lay people, my parents, DCEs, deaconesses, youth directors, who have held out the name of God to me and encouraged me when I was dangling to once again call out upon the name of God. And so may we teach the word of God in all its truth and purity, and lead holy lives according to it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our hymn.